number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. I'm going to read the first two verses and then we're going to turn to chapter number 7. 1 Samuel 4, verse number 1. And the Lord and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. The 7th chapter, verse number 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them, and until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I'm going to conclude the reading there, and I'd like to begin by making a statement that oftentimes, as Christians, we are too quick, too soon, to forget what God's done. God blesses, God ministers, God meets a need, and we thank Him for it, and then too soon, oftentimes too soon, we go on our way and don't remember, are not reminded of how wonderful and how great our God is. And so I'd like to use the thought in the 12th verse today, when Samuel said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And I would like for you to remember, think about it this way. After the battle is over and God's given the victory here, Samuel says, always remember, this is a special place, right here between Mizpah and Shin, a special place because it's where the Lord gave us victory. And I thought, how many times, having lived as long as my wife and I have, and having been blessed of God, how many times it is good to go back in your mind and say, right there is where God did a work. Right there is where God blessed. I thought, it was right there where Emmett accepted Christ as a Savior. Right there where the Lord healed. Where the Lord met a need in our lives. And Samuel is saying to Israel on this occasion, hitherto have the Lord, how does it say? Hitherto have the Lord helped us. Thank God. And I thought today it would be good for us to remember in our minds, where were you? When was it that the Lord saved you? Where were you baptized? Think about that. When did you join the church? Where was that when you joined the church? And maybe, how about God healing or whatever it was? Some special occasion, some event, some place God wants us to remember, unless we forget. I believe we miss out on the blessings of God because we forget what He's done. Thank Him for what He's done. And watch what He do some more. In chapter 4 that I've read, we find that the Philistines had come to battle against Israel, and the Bible says that the enemy, the Philistines, defeated Israel. The enemy had won the victory over the children of God. And the Bible says 4,000 Israelis died in the battle. And I didn't read this in the Bible, but I thought it came to me. That means that when the army of Israel returned home, someone had the responsibility of going to a loved one, going to a parent, and saying, "Your son was slain on the battlefield." Heartbreaking. I thought about Dover, Delaware, where the plane lands and they take those caskets off, draped in American flag of our American GIs that have died in Afghanistan or Iraq, given their lives. Did you know sometimes that stirs us, but unless from time to time we remember, God's been good. But on this occasion, the Bible says that the Israelis were defeated, and I thought, and I say this to you today, as the children of God, that ought not to be. As the people of God, that ought not to be. We ought never be defeated. Have you driven by the sign? Did it ever come up while you were passing by that says, "The Lord is on your side"? Have you seen it? I come out here, I pass that sign twice on Monday, twice on Tuesday, four times on Wednesday, twice on Thursday, twice on Friday, four times on Saturday, and four times on Sunday. Sometimes I just stop when I turn in to read all of it again. And that keeps on blinking out to me. The Lord is on your side. The Lord is on your side. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad that He is? And here we find the children of God have been defeated by the enemy. And that ought not to be. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible tells me, if I serve God, I'm always victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the enemy comes against me, the Lord God Almighty will lift up a standard against him, because He's on my side. Amen. Now, if He's on your side, you can say amen too. Help me out. It's real. The Lord is on our side. Hallelujah. The Bible says by the prophet Isaiah, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The Lord is telling me that when Satan comes against me with his big guns and he's trying to destroy the church or my family or the marriage or my life or my testimony, when the devil comes against me, the Lord is on my side. The Lord will be there to hold me up. He's a good God. Thank God, thank God. There are several things, and I'll hurry along. I notice the time. I'll hurry along. Several things in chapter number 7 that I've just read, 1 Samuel 7, that I'd like to mention. First, in the third verse, if you want God to deliver you from the enemy, if you want victory, Samuel says, return unto the Lord with all of your hearts and put away the strange gods. Now, I want to emphasize that. I'm not going to take time for a Bible study or what have you, but he said, if you want to serve God, if you want to love God, and if you want God to love you and to bless you and to give you victory, prove yourself. Put away the strange gods. Prove that you mean business. Do you believe sometimes people talk a lot and do a little? He said, be sincere. I'll give a Bible illustration in the 35th chapter of Genesis. When Jacob and his family was returning back home, they'd been in Syria. And as they were returning home, the Bible says, God spoke to them and said, arise and go to Bethel and make there an altar to God. I want you, Jacob, now that you're back home, go back to Bethel, and I want you to erect an altar, and I want you to worship and magnify God. And he says these words, and when you get ready to go to Bethel, put away the strange gods that are in your midst. Listen closely. They were going to worship. And God will not accept worship if we're holding on to the world. Put away the strange gods that are in your midst. A similar situation with Joshua some years later when he was coming down to the end of his journey. And it was the last time he ever spoke to the people of Israel over in the promised land. And the Bible said, he said these words, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which you served on the other side of the flood. Those gods that you served back in Egypt. If you want the blessings of God, if you want the victory, if you want the anointing, if you want God's real reality in your heart, put away the things of the world and serve Him with all of your heart. It's the best life in the world. Some of you say, Brother Jones, you have to give up too much to be a Christian. Everything God asked me to give up was good for me. To give up.
And this, let me leave this with you. Everything God says leave aside, put aside. He gives you something a whole lot better.
I could testify the rest of the day. Having served God all of these years, He's been good. And good. And good. And keep on being good. Amen. What a Savior. What a mighty God. It's still God's plan. What He said through Samuel, and what He said through Jacob, and what He said through Joshua is still the plan of God. If we want the blessings of God, He said, separate yourself from the things of this world. Put away the strange gods. And I'm not going to linger there any longer, but we'll go with me secondly to the fifth verse in that chapter. Samuel calls the people of the Lord to a place called Mizpah, and time for prayer. Let me leave this with you today. We're praying for revival. I believe God God's working things out. He's getting people ready. But listen closely. It will never come in your heart. It will never come in your family unless there's some prayer. Someone once said at a prayer meeting, somebody better pray for me. And we need to pray one for another. But there comes some time when you need to pray. We all need to pray. And so, God's plan. And here they called upon Him to pray. Seventh verse. When they heard the Philistines were coming to battle, the Bible said they were afraid. And they asked Samuel to pray again. Pray for them. Realize that their only hope was in God. We have studied the book of James recently. We came to the fifth chapter, and the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the children of Israel realized that Samuel was a righteous man, and they called upon him to pray, believing that when he prayed, something would happen. And Samuel prayed. There were several times we see God coming on the scene. We come to the ninth verse. Samuel offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and prayed. And the Bible says the Lord heard him in the ninth verse. I'm so glad that when I pray, God hears. Yes. Amen, amen. When our boys were at home, when I called them, knowing that they were in hearing distance, I expected them to hear me when I called. My daddy would come to the back of the house. We would be praying in the thicket. We'd be playing basketball in the thicket or somewhere where there was an opening. Wherever we were, call. I'm glad that I heard, I could hear when my daddy called, and I'm glad that I can hear the voice of God. And now the Bible says, and the Lord heard when Samuel prayed. And the tenth verse says, when Samuel was offering the sacrifice, that God thundered out of heaven upon the Philistines with a great thunder. And He caused the Philistines to be confused within themselves, and they began to fight amongst themselves, and Israel won a great victory. God thundered out of heaven. Let me leave this with you. God was on their side. Amen. If He has to thunder out of heaven to defeat the enemy, God thunder. Amen, amen. And God heard their cry and sent thunder. And while, I like this part, while Samuel was praying, God answered. Isn't that amazing? You go to God in prayer, and before you can finish praying, He's already answered. Man, He's good. He's a big God. Then I come to the 12th verse. When the fighting had ended and the victory had been won, Samuel did something, and this is the essence of the sermon this morning. Samuel took a stone, and he set it there. He said, God has given us victory right here. And I'm going to set this stone here as a memorial so that we will never forget as a people. So that when the next generation comes and they look at the stone and have this been used as a memorial stone in Ebenezer. We named it Ebenezer. He said, I want you to remember that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And he set up that stone as a memorial for what God has done. My sermon this morning is, remember what God has done. And set up a stone, a memorial, lest you forget. If you're not careful, the devil will come against you in such a manner that you'll forget all that God's done. And you'll wonder, does God still love me? Does God still care? Does God still hear what I pray? And when the devil comes against you, tell him, go with me to Ebenezer. I want to show you a stone.
I will show you a memorial stone where God was on our side. Where God gave the victory, there'll be something different in your life. But help us, God, I pray, to remember and not forget the blessings of God, the goodness of God. Oftentimes when I come to pray, I like to go over in my mind, and one time it's on this direction, another time it's another direction. I thought about in my own family how that God healed our son of a brain tumor, and then again with a condition in his heart, how that it looked like he was going to die, and then the other son, how that God healed him when he was 5 days old, how that God healed my wife. I begin to go over in my mind, and the more I think about that, the better I feel. Why do I feel that way? Because if God did that, He can do something else. Lest I forget. And I get the feeling sorry for what I'm going through. Thank God for what He's already brought me through, and think about those things. He's still God. Amen. Let me use another illustration. There was a reason why Samuel did what he did with a stone memorial, reminding the people. He wanted them to know that God loves you. And keep this in mind, and God is on your side. And if you'll serve Him, He'll fight your battles. When God called me to preach, and I'm not going through that again tonight, today, but He let me know, Glenn, if you'll trust me, I'll take care of you. Here it has been 53 years next month. 19th day of July next month, 53 years in the ministry. And let me just give a testimony, because some are here for the first time and some maybe need to hear it again. He has not failed one time. He's been there every step of the journey. And the closer I get to the end, Bruce, I'm glad you put that on the sign out there. The Lord is on your side. We cannot lose if we'll stay with God. We cannot go under if we'll stay with God. If we'll hold the hand of God, we are victorious. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And He's praying. He says, now God has blessed us abundantly, give us victory over the enemy. And I'm setting the stone memorial up so that you'll never forget. Because it was not your fighting. It was not your ability. It was not how great you were on the battlefield. It was not because you were a larger army, a better army. It was because God was with us. Amen. And it's not because we're a bundle like tabernacle. It's not because of our name. It's not because of where we come from, or even now where we are. It's all because of Him. Hallelujah. Don't ever forget, without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we can accomplish nothing, nothing, but He's on our side. We're winners for the glory of God. It would be good to remember what God has done. Let me use a couple of illustrations. The story of Jacob I mentioned a while ago when he was returning home. Let me turn it around and go years earlier. You know the story, maybe, how that Jacob and Esau were having difficulties in the home. And Jacob stole the birthright of Esau and his blessing. And Esau, his own brother, said, Jacob, I'm going to kill you. There was a time when I thought, my brother's going to do the same to me. I don't think he meant to. But he hit me in the face or in the head with a two before. He wasn't aiming at anyone else. We were on the grape harbor picking grapes, and my brother had a large bucket, probably a gallon of what. And something was said, and we were arguing. You didn't argue maybe when you were raised, but you've got four brothers. And he threw a bucket of grapes. Hit me in the head. A lot of things happened. I loved him. Because I could whip him when wrestling. He's my older brother. Just buried him last week. But I loved him. We got along well. We got along well. But this is the part that I wanted to mention. Jacob and Esau were having troubles, and Mama said, son, go visit your uncle. Go to Padanaram and visit your uncle. Stay there for a while, and Esau will cool down, and he'll get over it, and he won't remember it, and you can come on back home after a while, and we'll all live happily ever after. So he went in a poem, and when he was going that night, he by himself, and he's out there in the open, and he's on his way to Syria to Padan-Aram, and the Bible said he lays down to go to sleep, and he takes a stone and makes it for a pillow. And while he was sleeping that night, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a ladder reaching into heaven. And at the top of the ladder was Almighty God. And there were angels ascending and descending. And in the dream, God said to Jacob, I'll go with you. I'll take care of you. I'll supply your needs. I'll bring you back home. And when he awakened that morning and realized it was a dream, he took the stone that he had for the pillar and he anointed it and said, this is none other but the house of God. I've really met with God. I'm running from my brother, but God has revealed himself. And he set up a stone. And 20 years later, as I mentioned earlier, when he came back with a wife, with two wives and children, a household, and came to the very place where he had prayed earlier. And God said, I want you to go back to Bethel and offer a sacrifice. He went back to that stone memorial where God had met with him, remembering 20 years ago, and God's been faithful to do everything that he promised to do. God's been faithful, and he went there to worship. I mentioned about the children of Israel. Samuel said, we call this memorial stone Ebenezer. Jacob said, the stone Bethel, the house of God. Remember what God had done earlier. I've read on in the scriptures about various things, and let me use one other illustration. When the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and crossed the wilderness, come to the Jordan River, couldn't get across. 3 million strong. No bridge, no boats. The Bible said God stopped the waters in a little city north. Put his hand in the Jordan River and stopped the waters so that the waters no longer could run down the Jordan River without across the desert. And the Bible said the children of Israel walked across the Jordan on dry ground. He's a big God. He's on our side. If you need to get across, he'll make the way. They walked across the Jordan River on dry ground, but before the priests came out of the riverbed, God said, tell the children of Israel, one man out of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, take a stone out of the dry riverbed. Bring it to the other side, to the western shore of the Jordan River. And when you bring those 12 stones over here, I want you to set them in that first town called Gilgal. And I want you to make a memorial. And as you place those there at Gilgal, that memorial, and your children and your grandchildren later on in years, they'll ask, Daddy, Granddaddy, Papa, what do those stones mean? He'll be able to say, that's when God brought us across the Jordan on dry ground. When God delivered us and gave us the land. Lest you forget what I've done, God says. And as they put those there, and I'm going to close with a thought this morning. In case you don't know it, the devil doesn't like you. In fact, he is out to destroy you and your family and everything that's good. He'll try to destroy your marriage. He'll try to destroy the relationship between a father, a mother, and children. He'll try everything in the world. Temptations and lies and accusations. And he'll come against you. But I'm going to leave some instructions this morning. When the devil comes, I'm not going to say if he comes against you, he will come. And when Satan comes against you and tries to make you believe you can't make it, or God doesn't love you, or he's not going to do this or that,
I want you to do something. In your heart and in your mind, I want you to do this. I want you to take Satan to Ebenezer and said, right there, God gave me the victory. You can say whatever you want to say. You can do whatever you want to do. But I know my God gave the victory. You can take him. You can take him to Bethel, where God met with Jacob. Your Bethel, not there over yonder where Bethel is. Take him to your Bethel where God saved you, or where God blessed you, or where God met a need in your life. Take him to Bethel and say, devil, get behind me. Right there and say, God came on the scene. Right there and say, God blessed, and God's on my side. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If needs be, take him to Gilgal. God brought us out of the wilderness, out of sin. Brought us across the dry riverbed. Take him to that stone wall, that stone memorial. Maybe not in Gilgal in your life, but some spiritual time in your life. Take him there and say, devil, it was right there when God did a work in my life. It was right there when God healed my son. It was right there when God blessed my wife. It was right there when God did something in the church. Do whatever you want, you devil. God's on our side. I'll leave two illustrations. Don't ever read the Bible and think that those in the Bible never had a problem. They love God, you love God. The devil hated them, the devil hates you. They had troubles, you have troubles. And I can imagine David, the king of Israel, one day going through a hard time. His son has rebelled against him. He's done some things wrong and asked God to forgive him, and God had. The devil's trying to make him believe that God no longer cares. This is not in the Bible. I just want to share a story in my mind. Alone, without any servants, without any chariots. I can imagine David getting his horse, leaving Jerusalem, going past Bethlehem, not far from Bethlehem in the south. He goes to a valley called the Valley of Elah. No one with him. No one in the valley. David goes to the Valley of Elah. Goes down by the brook and looks at those stones there. And then he looks over yonder in the midst of the valley. And it was right there where God gave him the victory over the giant Goliath. Right there is where I killed the giant, and Israel had the victory. And rejoice, we defeated the enemy because God anointed. And he can say to the devil, devil, do whatever you want to do. But the God that I'm serving is still the same that gave me the victory over Goliath. Take the devil on a journey and point out what God's done. Point out what God's done. Point out what God's done. Hallelujah. I've told you about Mike when he was about 6 or 7 years old. Maybe 8. Could not. Sometimes he'd lose his breath. And I'd grab him up. Looked like he couldn't get his breath. And I'd hold him and pray and And got to the time when we couldn't even let him sleep in his room with Tom. Made a cot, made a pallet beside our bed. And in the middle of the night when he'd go to gasping, we'd take him to the doctors and he couldn't find out anything wrong. They took all kind of tests about his heart and the rest. Everything working, but we wouldn't even allow him to sleep in the room where he normally slept so that I could reach down and get him and somehow stand him up and hold him till he got his breath. One Sunday afternoon, had the worst time he'd ever had. Began to gasp for breath. And I grabbed him and we were praying and I was holding him and praying. My wife went to the telephone. She called Greenwood Pentecostal Holiness Church over on Mercury Boulevard. We were getting ready to go to church in Glendale, Arizona, and they were just meeting around the altar at the close of the service in Hampton. And my wife called and asked to speak to her mom about Mike. Have the church to pray. Pray for Mike. Look like he's not going to live.
He'd already been healed of a brain tumor some years earlier, but it looked like he was not going to live. And the devil was mad. And Brother Garner, you were there? Brother Garner announced to the people around the altar at the close of the service about what my wife had said. They joined in prayer. And I want you to listen. Mike, he's here right now, singing the quartet. He never had another spell from that day till this. And every time the devil comes along, I can point. Devil, you can do whatever you want to do. But I know what God did. And I'm on his side and he's on my side. And I'm victorious. One other illustration and I close. I can remember, I can think in my mind about a preacher by the name of the Apostle Paul. Been in jail, been beaten, been stoned, left for dead, been in the deep, he's been beaten with rods, he's gone through it. Devil's trying to kill him. Going through so much. Sometimes, and I can think of this way, this is my thoughts. Something was really, really, really bothering Paul, and Satan was out to destroy his ministry and everything. Now, in his mind, I can imagine Paul taking Satan on a journey, spiritually speaking. Go with me, Satan, and I'm going to show you something. And he takes him to that road of Damascus. And he says to Satan, right there, it's where a bright light out of heaven struck me down. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to my heart. And I turned my life over to him. You can do what you will, Satan, but I got saved. The Lord came into my heart, delivered me from sin, turned me around, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm going to preach as long as I've got breath in my body. I'm going to tell the world that Jesus said, do what you will, Satan. But there is a memorial on that road to Damascus. I can point you to it today. That's where God answered prayer. Amen. 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 As my wife comes to the piano, I want to leave this thought with you. Believers. Believers today in this house that love God, Satan will come against you. Satan will bring things against you to try to destroy you. But if God has saved you, take him back. Take Satan back to the place of the altar. I've told you this before. If I possibly could, but the church is already destroyed now. If I could take you to that church, that Assemblies of God church in Idaho, I believe I could come within maybe 3 or 4 feet from where I knelt. In 1955, in the month of February, I believe I know about exactly where my wife and I were kneeling when I got saved. Satan, when you come against me, I'm going to take you to Mountain Home. I'm going to show you right there is where Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah. I'm leaving some words of encouragement today. We're living in perilous times. Satan is a liar. He'll try his best to ruin you. He'll try his best to take you out of this world to hell. But build a memorial. If you're not saved this morning, as my wife plays something softly, if you're not saved this morning, if you're not ready for heaven this morning, this is your day. You say, why do you say that, Brother Jones? Because you don't have a promise of tomorrow. Satan is after you and he will destroy you if he can. Your only hope is Jesus. And I'm not telling you this today just to keep you out of hell. I'm telling you this so that you can enjoy life. Abundant life. This is the best life in the world. Nothing compares with it. Knowing that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Think of these things that I've preached about today. Christians, don't let the devil beat you down. The Lord is on your side. You're victorious. Will you stand together with me? Praise God. Thank you.